You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray her. Then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show today. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I'm here. I'm glad we're here together. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I welcome you to this show. We have some good news. And if you know me, you know I love good news. We have some good news coming up this month. The Red Carpet Award Show in Holland is taking place. And we are so honored and so happy and so humbled and so blessed to be nominated in 7 categories. That's right. 7 is a good number. We like the number 7. And I am really excited to be nominated in all of these categories and in Holland. I want to say thank you to our friends who listen in Holland. We love you. We appreciate you. And we are so grateful for you. We're grateful for you. Thank you so much. We love everyone who listens to this show all around the world, who shares us on social media, the sponsors, the donors, the guests, our engineer, the staff, everyone at this great network. We are so thankful for the Red Carpet Awards show in Holland. Just as a blessing, you know, to all of our hard work. This is a labor of love. And just to have folks appreciate it and like it, it means the world to us. And it gives us encouragement just to keep on going. So the Red Carpet Awards show in Holland is taking place this month. And we have 7 nominations. I'm nominated for the best radio or TV program for this show. We're thrilled. And the best radio, TV, or internet host. That is a great honor for me, and I'm very thankful. Best music video, best folk original, best gospel or Christian cover song, best Native American style, and the best Americana cover. So we are just so thankful. Oh my goodness, we are just so happy to shine, you know, and to be grateful and thankful. Just everything God does for us and for this show and for everything we try to do, we thank the Lord for that. So 7 nominations for this year's Red Carpet Awards show in Holland, and we are super excited about that, and it's coming up, and we can hardly wait to find out how the results are. But I won't say who won, because for us, we already feel like winners. We already feel like winners. So congratulations to everyone that wins, all of the nominees, just to be selected, just to be thought of. I mean, Holland, can you imagine that? All the way over in Holland, they're enjoying our show, our music, everything we're trying to do. That is a good thing, and we're so thankful. You know, we're grateful, really, truly. So thank you, Jesus. We appreciate it. And it's always nice to be able to share some good news. I think that's something we have to do on purpose. You know, it's not bragging. It's not. When you have a triumph or a joy and you share it, that is not bragging. That is glorifying God for the good he's doing in your life. And it's also encouraging to other people, right? Because it shows them that God is at work and God is no respecter of persons. And so if he's working in your life and you share that, then someone else who's waiting on their blessing or their miracle, they get to see it too. And they get to enjoy it and experience it. So I am super excited that we have this nomination, and we're just, I mean, it's just such a great gift from the Lord. Every time he does anything like this, it just lets us know that we are helping people and we're loving the world one person at a time. So many of us, need some good news right now. What's your good news? What are you counting your blessings? What are you giving thanks for today? Because that's what we're doing. We're giving thanks. We're saying thank you for all the goodness in our lives. So what's good in your life right now? My granddaddy used to say that trouble will find you. You have to schedule your joy. You have to fight for your joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we count our blessings rather than complain about our problems, we actually build up ourselves. We build up our hearts. We build up our minds. We build up other people around us. And when something good happens to you, thank God for it. But also thank the folks around you who make it possible. So I want to say thank you to all the folks who listen to this show. Thanks to our sponsors, our donors. Thank you to our wonderful, kind, patient engineer. Thank you to this network that has just been such a blessing to this show. Thank you for the guests who take time to be with us and share their journey and their wisdom and their encouragement with all of us. And thank you to you who listen. We want to help you. We want to love on you. We want to send encouragement and good vibes and positive energy through the airwaves to you. And when you listen, you encourage us and you're a blessing to us. So I'm so grateful to the Red Carpet Award Show in Holland. I'm so thankful for this wonderful opportunity. 7 nominations. What a good number and what a great blessing. We are so thankful for that. There's a lot to be thankful for. There really is. And I think that we have to stay vigilant and know what the news is saying and know what's going on. But we also have to be thankful that we have good things as well, even if they're small things. I'm thinking about a time when I was telling my medicine man, I am so tired of my problems. I was going through a trying time. I'm tired of talking about my problems. I'm tired of thinking about my problems. I'm tired of praying over and over and over again about this same sad problem. You know what I'm super tired of? Having me on my mind all the time. And he smiled at me. He said, then get busy blessing somebody else. Call them and ask them how they are doing. Pray about other people's problems. Cheer someone else up. Volunteer. Give. Share. Do something that takes your mind off your problems. And the problems will still be there when you get back, if you're worried about that. But maybe they won't be. Maybe God will just take care of you while you're taking care of somebody else. Maybe they'll still be there, but you'll be refreshed and you're ready to tackle those problems with new energy and new perspective. I'm grateful for that advice. So counting our blessings, helping other people, that is a vacation. It's got a mini vacation from our own lives and problems, you know. Just take a break. Count your blessings. Praise God. Help somebody else. You know, I think it's the best way we can handle that. We may not even realize that we feel better, you know, until we realize that we feel better, right? You know, and sometimes you didn't even know how bad you felt until you feel better. So I am really grateful and thankful for that advice, because when we help others, sometimes we also realize we didn't have it that bad after all, right? Someone once said, if we all saw each other's burdens and problems and we had a choice to trade, we'd all keep our own. So if you're having a difficult time right now, get busy being a blessing. Clean out those closets and donate the clothing. Visit or check on an elder and give time. money or skills to help someone else? I have a dear friend that goes to the animal rescue, and she grooms and pets the kittens whenever she feels stressed. And those kittens offer her love, and she feels uplifted and useful. So I can think of one great person in my life who is always helping other people and thinking about other people and overcoming obstacles and praising God and focused on the Lord, and it's Aunt B. Yes, Aunt B is back. Dr. Bennis Blue, I'm so thankful that you're here today. God bless you.
God bless you, my darling.
We love you. I'm so happy that you're here because, you know, we have a lot of folks that we hold up as role models and heroes in today's world, and sometimes it's just because they look real good in a bathing suit, or they can play sports, or they, you know, sound pretty good if you give them some music and auto-tune and stuff like that. But you are a real hero to me, and I know you're so modest and you won't brag on yourself, so I will celebrate you. Tell us about your groundbreaking accomplishment in the United States Army.
You know something, sweetie? I would rather not. Today, I'd rather talk to you about the blessings and all that you've been talking about on your show and just how good God is.
I love
it. Has been and is being to me. I just got off the phone with my 87-year-old sister. I've been really kind of mad with, you know, because of things. Yesterday, I was kind of frustrated and down and out because it was the 40th or so anniversary. My daddy died in 1980.
I'm sorry.
And I just wanted to have that day to myself.
Yes.
By myself. Mm-hmm. And I ended up sharing it with at least three people, and one of those was my praying nephew, who's a minister. But the other one was somebody who needed a blessing.
Oh.
And that was a young lady. I was frustrated because I got the information wrong for the day to get my shoes fitted for my feet. But I went to the designer shoe warehouse, and please pray for everybody. Lift up this young woman. Her name is Megan. She works at Designer Shoe Warehouse in Raleigh, North Carolina.
God bless
Megan. And she was taking her time trying to find my member number. You know, God just works stuff, and she couldn't find my member number. But I just kept talking to her and stuff. And what it came out to, the girl started crying.
Oh.
And she was telling me how much she missed her grandma.
Oh,
I must have reminded her of her grandma.
Oh.
The Lord bless her and help me, because if I did, you know, he gave me some words.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about her because I just got some literature from Our Daily Bread called The Compassion of Jesus. But the poor baby I was the only customer in line right there at the time, and she sort of just kept looking at that screen and looking at that screen. And after we talked a minute, she just broke down and she told me, I miss my grandma.
Oh.
My grandma died. And I missed my grandma. And all I could remember was that she was saying, I miss my grandma. And I said, you know, I miss my mama. Because my mama died when I was four. And I didn't really get to know her. But she said, I love my grandma the best because she understood me.
Yeah.
And so we kept on talking. And I mean, I'm sitting there waiting to give this woman money because I had found the perfect shoes for my feet. Because I had gone to a location to get shoes and to change those shoes, but the ones I found instead on my own cost less, felt better, and everything. So, and I had talked to a lady named Miss Janice, and Miss Janice stood there, and she talked to me too about her problems with her daughter moving and everything, and that how she had bought, I bought some New Balance, and how they gave her, first gave her the men's can, and then they gave her the ladies' cans finally. But I was getting the men's can, and she said, don't worry about it. They'll find them sooner or later in the ladies' can. And she encouraged me. And the lady got a little, you know, the supervisor, I guess, saw that she was talking too long with the customer.
Wow.
And so she came and took her away. But She came back behind. She told her she came back with another worker and told her to check out. Well, she went back behind the counter when I was talking to this young lady, and she checked on out. But I talked to the young lady, and I told her that Miss Jackie was really helpful to me. And she, you know how people don't understand how they can be of help and of service to others in the workplace?
Mm-hmm.
And I keep thinking, you know, I look back, and it Paul says, press forward towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. Don't look back. But when I look back at my children that I've had, I think about all these things, and she was just like one of my children from my classes that I taught. And she's standing there, and she's doing her job, and she's trying to do her job valiantly and, you know, with the plum and stuff, but she can't help. I mean, why did the Lord let that young lady break down and cry and tell me about her grandma? I must have reminded her of her grandma, but he gave me the words to tell her. I said, I promise you, you call on the Lord, you ask him for his comforter, you ask him for his Holy Spirit to come and abide with you. He'll send it. I promise you, it will. He will. He will. He will keep his word. He will. So you just, I mean, she said she started crying. She didn't have a tissue. I tried to give her one. She wouldn't take it. But she was wiping her eyes with her hands and stuff. And it just touched my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope the people out there are listening, because this ain't about me. It's about God and how God can use you wherever you are, whatever you're doing. If your feet hurt, he can help you to make somebody else's heart feel better, the hurting heart feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pray that the young lady, you know, I just let her have her moment.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else, nobody else was in line, but before we got done, here come, they sent somebody else over there to come and stand in line. I think they thought we were taking too long, but you can't take too long when you're doing God's work.
Mm-hmm.
No, you cannot. You can't stop healing when healing is going on. And the young lady's heart was healing to some measure, and I just thank the Lord it won't me. And I've been looking at this little literature called The Compassion of Jesus, and I've been trying to figure out how to get a copy of that back to the young woman, because people appeal to me all the time. My nephew, who's in prison, and I told you about him, he sent me a letter, and he was really joyful and stuff, but he told me that he didn't trust the people that are doing the vaccines because they keep lying, and I could see his point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I don't tell people. I talk to the people that are on the ground here by me and urge them to go and get vaccinated, because here's a thought that I have, and this is probably off script, but then it's probably not what you...
We don't have a script.
You started talking, but I'm going to tell you this. I talked to one of my friends. Remember, I talked to you about unapproved relationships, but sometimes those things turn, they come around, round circle, and you get to make some good from them.
Uh-huh.
I told that friend, you know something, when I was a child going to school, they didn't ask your mama and daddy if they wanted to get you vaccinated. They told them, you got to get vaccinated to go to school.
Okay.
Don't care what the vaccine is. You got to get vaccinated to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with these people? Now, why did they change it? Look, I went to school 60 years ago, more than 60 years ago. But they still, you had to have a shot record. And even daddy took us to the Wake County Health Department to get vaccinated. My daddy with no education that I mourned yesterday, that I celebrated yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But he took us. He was that kind of daddy. He was good enough daddy to take his children and make sure that we got our shots and got school so we could get educated, which he wasn't. And I mean, I'm sorry, I sniffed too bad.
Beautiful. I love
but
it. I love
thing
it.
The thing is that you talk about your granddaddy. Well, I talk about my daddy, my
That's
earthly
right.
daddy.
Yeah.
My earthly daddy could do this for me. How much more can my heavenly daddy do for all
Amen.
Of us?
Amen.
And so,
Amen.
But
Amen.
It brought me back around. I'm fussing now about the vaccine. Then I told my friend this. Why does the president have to say he excuses the military from getting the vaccine?
Oh,
my
wow.
friend said, I tell you what, they ain't going to not get a vaccine, but when they get in country, they're going to get the vaccine, whatever it is. Whether they like it or not, if they don't go before, they don't get it before they go, they're going to get it on the ground. so I'm thinking to myself, what is wrong with, I know what's wrong with them. Those people don't listen to God. We asked for a godly leader. We got a godly leader, and the poor man is, he's the father. He all these people that are coming at him left and right. We got a leader, like the Israelites got Saul, and they come at that leader. They come at him with all these different things, but he does his best. And his advisors, sometimes his advisors create havoc where there's no cause for any concern.
Mm-hmm.
And if President Biden is listening, I hope he hears, he doesn't need to do anything else about vaccines and telling them he doesn't need to pay people to get vaccinated. He just needs to put his foot down and tell them the law is the law. The law that has been before is the law still, and tell those people that are differing with him. And you know who they are. Everybody knows who they are. And that person that came before, who swore that there was no problem with the problem with the pandemic, they went and got vaccinated. So how come they're convincing other people to not get vaccinated? That's just the devil.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go, because I'm on the roll, and when I get on the roll, you know I will talk unendlessly.
I wanted to say some. You're saying so many wonderful things, and I want to make sure that we all realize something. You know, we can make a difference. I think a lot of times we're abdicating making a difference. They should do something about this. Why don't they change this? Or why don't they help people? And what you showed us today with your beautiful example when you went to the shoe store is that we can reach the people around us. God is putting people in our path. Even when you're talking to folks about the vaccine that might be vaccine hesitant or whatever, they're in your path. You're able to talk to them. You know, I think sometimes we forget we all have a path. Everybody has somebody that they will listen to. And you are so obedient and faithful to actually minister and to love on the people that are in your path. And so I really want us to think about that example, that wonderful role model example that you're showing us. You know, not just like, oh, look at those people over there, they should do this and that. But you're actually stepping into the lives of people, even if it's just for, you know, a morning at the shoe store or for a few minutes on the phone. You're stepping into the lives of people in your path, and you're making a difference. And you reminded me so much of a beautiful story that's a beautiful story about comforting someone who missed someone. And in the process, you got comfort. You know, it's like you're comforting her because you remind her of her grandma, and she's comforting you, and you were mourning. And I think, oh my goodness, this is so beautiful. We all have to start to remember to do that for one another. I was speaking at a conference, and as part of the conference, they had a powwow, and vendors, and, you know, all kinds of people were there. And as I walked past this elderly Navajo couple, had a beautiful silver, turquoise, all kinds of things, jewelry that for sale. And the elderly lady just started crying, like she just burst out crying. And she said, may I hug you? I didn't know her from Adam's house cat. And I thought, you know, well, sure, okay. And I hugged her, and she just cried and cried and cried and cried. And then, you know, she hugged me and hugged me and hugged me, and then she let me go. And she went over to the corner of the booth to wipe her tears and fix her face. And her elderly husband put his hand on my arm, and he said, you look just like our granddaughter. And he slid a beautiful silver bracelet onto my wrist. I didn't ask any questions. I went on with the rest of my day. But I've always thought, whatever response that was, my goodness, well, my goodness. And that is how we have to treat one another, right? We have to treat one another with kindness, like you did today in the shoe store. You know, we have to treat each other with integrity and intelligence, like you did when you were talking to folks about the vaccines. Thank you for being a role model of that for us.
Can I share with you another
please.
Narrative?
Yes, please.
On my way on my way to get those shoes before I met that young lady, I was stopped in a line, in a traffic line, in a residential area. The school bus, that little yellow bus that waits on the kids, was stopped. God, stop that bus right there. People behind and people coming from my direction. They were blowing the horns and tapping their brakes and doing all this. They were anxious to get on to work. School bus man didn't care. Well, we waited there, and I said a little prayer. And I said, well, thank you, Lord, for this break. I love school buses. I love school buses stopping. Because I'm a teacher. You know, I'm a teacher. The teacher makes it kind of stuff. And out of my right, I saw. Here's this little thing who he comes running out, flying out of the house by himself with a book bag bigger than he was. He was anxious to go learn. And the adult grabbed his hand because he was about to run in the street. And I was sitting there with this long line of traffic waiting because they didn't want to wait on the bus. They, you know, some people will drive past the stop bus. They don't care if they get a ticket. But this precious angel, he probably was in kindergarten, went dashing. The adult grabbed him up and took him out. And the bus was waiting for him and another one. He took him and put him on the bus. The bus driver got off the bus and came there, stood and received the child and put him, made him safe on the bus. 5 minutes later, here comes another little teeny girl. That first one was a little black boy. Oh, Lord, he was about to jump out of his skin. He was so happy to go to school. Remember now, remember what my state of mind was. Here is my granddaughter, 11. We're praying for her, and she's been held back from going to school for her first day in middle school. But all of a sudden, here comes this little girl, a little beige girl. And she's just trying her best to get there. She's got all loaded down with all this stuff. She's little, just like the little one, the little black one, boy, that was in front of me. It's this little girl. Here comes the whole family. The dog came out. The little doggy came out. But the dog decided he's going to take a potty break. And somebody from the family ran off to get the dog up, you know, so they could get on with the mission of getting this child on the bus.
Wow.
I gave them a thumbs up when the little boy got on. I clapped when they put the little boy on. But
yeah.
When they put the little girl on, oh, I clapped and I started crying because I'm thinking, Lord, look at these babies. They neither one of them had on a mask, by the way. Look at these babies. They are so anxious to learn. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Right.
How are we sending our children out here? I know neither one of them had a vaccine. But when I was that age, when my brother and sisters was that age, we had to get a vaccine before we could get out there running, getting on the bus. We didn't have to wear a mask. See? Now, my granddaughter that's 11, and my granddaughter that's 8, and my grandbaby that's my grandson that's 3, can't get a vaccine because they don't have one approved.
Right.
That's the devil.
Right.
That's a liar. That's the devil lying. Because if we had a vaccine, then somebody needs to answer to why these children don't have a vaccine now. Why are you putting these restrictions on them? Children don't want to wear a mask. No, they don't. But if that's the circumstance now, you stop being a fool parent and let them wear a mask until they come up with the answer. And let them go to school. They rejoice. They want to be in the classroom. And the teachers want to be there. They want to be, they'll wear a mask. They want to be with the children. And some of them, like relatives of mine, refuse to get a vaccine for religious reasons. And like my relative who's in prison, he refuses to get a vaccine because he does not trust the people that are responsible for the vaccine. Guess what? I can understand that because just now, when I tried to get a prescription filled for a pharmaceutical vegetable that was not a drug, my insurance company denied it because of a Medicare law. And the people that are sitting up there in power have taken thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars from pharmaceutical companies, and they voted against Medicare and Medicaid so that people like me can't get prescriptions that are non-pharmaceutical. So it's just another wile of the devil. We just have to keep pressing. We just have to keep pushing. Keep talking to the politicians. I'll talk to the governor. I'll talk to the president. vice president, vice president, his president's wife, speaker of the house. They all sent me letters requesting contributions, but in my contribution letters, I'm sending them back telling them, you know, you got to do something about this, this, and this issue, or you can send my money back to me. Because my first thing, my first love is having been a classroom teacher. I can understand what those teachers' dilemmas is.
Mm-hmm.
When you got parents that say, I don't want my child to wear a mask, and you got parents that say, I'm willing to wear a mask, put my child in with a mask so they can keep other people safe, what does the teacher do? You got to take what they give, they send you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got to take them the way they come. And
yeah.
That's the way we teachers have always been. You were a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
still are.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take your children the way they come. And I don't mean with a mask or without a mask. I mean where their head, where their mental capacity is, where their heart is, where their reception is for what you're teaching. And it does not help when our society puts other things on these little babies, these little teeny children. When I saw this dude get on the bus, finally,
yeah.
when I saw the bus pulled off, I clapped again. The people behind in front of me, they probably thought he was a lunatic. But I gave the bus driver a thumbs up just
wow.
to let him know, hey, you did something that made my day. Before I met Megan, before I cried with Megan,
mm-hmm.
before I saw Megan talking about her, she missed her grandma, I looked at the future, and the future is running around here. They're eager to learn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what is the right now doing? People want to get back to what was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they want to get back to what was, why don't they go and do some research and see that what was like this?
Mm-hmm.
Before you started all this mess,
mm-hmm.
children had to be vaccinated before they could go to school. So why are you sitting up here resisting?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get your child vaccinated. Get their shot records up there and tell them, here it is. Now, if I want my child to not wear a mask, I can show you proof that my child is being vaccinated. And if y'all don't have a vaccine that's current, well, then get one right now because I'm not going to play this. That's what parents need to be saying. You give my child the current vaccine so that my child can meet the qualification that was set, that was standardized before y'all came up with this BS. Give my child a vaccine so my child can breathe free, my child can learn free, and my future can become my legacy.
Mm.
That is my soapbox. So,
wow.
I went on and on. It went off from talking about daddy and grandma to talking about the future, and I guess those people have gone on. But these people are right now, and
mm-hmm.
you were talking about other
yeah.
folks, but if I can reach out and comfort that young lady, is in the, she's in the millennial group. I don't even know if she was vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
but she had the comfort to, she was comfortable enough to cry in front of me.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And you know,
yeah.
a crying person will always touch the heart of this mama.
Oh
because
yes. mm-hmm.
It made a connection between her and me.
Mm-hmm.
With we share our grief. And we also share our belief. And my belief, and I kept assuring her, trust me, God will send you a comforter. You just go ahead and cry if you got to cry. But don't you worry about it because he's going to send you somebody. If he's going to send the Holy Spirit to comfort you, you just trust it and believe it. So, okay, so I ran on and on. I'm stopping
now. I love it. I love that you care about other people. And, you know, we're going to go to commercial and come back. But one thing I want to say to you and to all our friends who are listening, we love you. Seven generations. In our Native American and Indigenous ways, every decision that we make, we're supposed to consider to the seventh generation. You know, our beautiful future that Aunt Bea was talking about. How is this going to impact the children? How is this going to impact the future? And so we're also supposed to make all of our decisions from a viewpoint and standpoint of love for that future. If you love your children, if you care about them, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great, and their children, and their children, and their children, and their children, what will you do with this moment? I'm going to wear my mask. We'll be back in just a moment after these commercial breaks.
Can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything. But they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag. Water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny. Or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Do you overcook your pasta? Do you mix your lights with your darks and tell long, complicated jokes that have no punchline? Do you have trouble wrapping gifts? Sound like a hyena when singing happy birthday and have no idea how the metric system works? Well, if you answered yes to any of the above questions, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you can't tie a Windsor knot, forget to defrost the chicken, can't tell a latte from a cappuccino, confuse North and South Dakota, overuse commas, throw a frisbee like it's a flounder, and still believe kids really do love lima beans, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts, it's okay, you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information on how you can adopt, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years... Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Or... Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something, serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are, but I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign, and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Talk to your doctor about creating a plan that works better for you. start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Aunt B is helping us today. She's helping us to walk a good path during some troublesome, scary times. And one thing I love about elders and wise people and caring, loving people is that they can help us because they've been through something. You know, they can help us because they've seen what God will do. You know, they've lived through it. They have a testimony. They know. And so, Aunt B, would you take a moment and introduce yourself to our friends as we start this segment, please?
Yes, ma'am. I am Bennis Blue. I am the granddaughter of a wonderful faith healer, Bertha Hicks Walker, Eastern Band of Cherokees. That grandmother, my maternal grandmother, had the power to heal by touch. She healed my cousin, who was burnt 2/3 of his body by fire. She healed my foot, which was almost determined at the time to be cut off, but I stepped on a glass jar. My grandmother touched it and spoke over it and stopped the bleeding. She healed it. She sent me to the medical doctor. They went around and they couldn't find any glass and anything. They stitched it up. I've been walking ever since. Grandma died in 1989, but not before she passed on life lessons to me. But she also passed on a sense that there was something greater than me that was being passed to me. And when I took off the air before, because I needed a hug from, and I was really overcome emotionally by my aunt, who's the first lady of the church. My aunt has that same healing gift. Mm-hmm. When I touched hands with my aunt at a prayer line once in church, I closed my eyes when I was talking to her, and I didn't see her anymore. I felt and saw my maternal, my biological mama, not her sister, her oldest sister. So she passed the gift then. She passed it in my hand to me without my even knowing what it was she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
She was the youngest daughter of my grandmother, the healing medicine woman. She passed that gift to me, and I, not knowing what the magnitude of the gift was, I took it just simply as a touch that reminded me of my birth mother. But guess what? When I came and brought my granddaughter to the church to be blessed, my knees trembled, my body whole trembled and everything, because my son had kept her from getting her, you know, her Christian or whatever, her blessing. Then the preacher, I passed and blessed the whole family. But I pass on, I don't know the magnitude of the power of this that's in my hand, and God will reveal it to me whenever he wants me to know what the full measure of it is. But I pass that on to my granddaughter, Mia Towns. Mia is 8 years old. Mia has green eyes.
Mm.
Mia is an old soul. She wears long pigtails down her back sometimes. But she is the one that comes and sits down and talks with me. She is the one that cleaned up the house and disinfected and waited on her older sister, my first granddaughter, the one that we prayed over with the with the COVID and stuff. But Mia is the one who's got the gift. And how can I wrap it up and express it to her? My son was born with the gift because when I was carrying him, I went to the church and I asked the minister, because he was jumping around, I read home. Uh-huh. And he just started jumping and having that. He was like about 3 months into the wind, you know. So I asked the preacher, I said, look. He started jumping and the preacher laid his hand on him and he blessed him right there before he got out. And he had another gift given to him because as my daddy, who I mourned yesterday, as my daddy was going out of this world, I leaned over and hugged my daddy and kissed him, and he got to connect and feel my daddy. He doesn't know it. He met my brothers, my brothers, my daddy's son. And I don't think my son really understands. I mean, they took him in. They just tried their best. And I don't think he realizes or understands the gift he's been given. But lately he has. When I told you that I wanted God had given me a reconnection in communication with him.
Yeah.
I've been able to talk to him. He and his wife celebrated their 13th wedding anniversary.
Oh, praise God.
And I had already sent them an anniversary card. But when I last saw the children, I gave everybody a gift. You know, I'm always taking something. And I gave him, I said, look, I'm going to give him a card with something in it, a note in it and stuff. I put some money in there. And his wife went and put it up on the shelf. I said, no, get him to open it. Because I wanted him to know that he got something. Because you know how children might be. They might think, you give everybody else something, you don't give me nothing. So I wanted him to know that I brought him a gift too. But it was a gift to him to spend on him and his wife if he wanted to. And he just grinned and he said, thank you. And he had like two sentence thing. And here comes Miss Mia.
Aww.
who breaks up that mushy conversation and says, Mama, I'm hungry and I'm making macaroni and cheese. So her mama had to get up. It was time for me to go. She was telling me, signal me. But you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That little gift is right there. It's right there in my son's family. And if I can just, God will show him in time, because I ask him to order his steps. And I ask him to send the angels to protect my little ones. But Mia is the one. Michelle, I love. Michelle was my first. And I always tell her, you're the prettiest little girl. She's a little brown little Native American girl who wore these little braids down to her butt until she got to be close to teenager and they had to do the stylish stuff in her hair. And Mia sometimes still wears those pigtails. And it's kind of hard for me to get past my own childhood of pigtails and all. But I do believe that of the gifts that you speak about, the gift of the spirit, the gift, the healing gift, the healing, whatever it is that I've got, my legacy, I've just passed it now. I pass it now. If I didn't pass it in any other way, I pass it now via the word. This blessing I give to my second grandchild, who was, you know, the blessing is always supposed to go to the oldest. I give my oldest grandchild the blessing that she is due, but I give to Mia that healing gift that my aunt, who was the youngest daughter of my grandmother, who passed it on to the youngest daughter, me, of her oldest sister, who passes it on to the youngest daughter of my son, who is Mia. So generation to generation, you talk about generational gifts.
Uh-huh.
That is my gift. And uh-huh. So if I do nothing else, if I can't, money or whatever else, if I give to other folks and I have nothing else to give, above all, that is the gift that I give to my generations, as I pass it to Mia, and may the Lord bless her and bring her to discernment and wisdom and understanding of that gift, and may he use it so that she can continue whatever it is that he started in me. Can he finish it or continue it in her?
Amen. Wow. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. You know, as Indigenous people all over the world, Indigenous people have ways of healing, ways of praying, ways of spiritual gifts. And then as Christians, we have such a powerful, powerful Holy Spirit who gives gifts, the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. And so I'm really honored that you talked about this and that we saw this beautiful transfer of gifts and legacy. And I think we have to reclaim that as tribal people. We really do.
Can I tell you one more thing about this thing, Mia?
Yes, of course.
You know why I get so wrapped up and I get caught up? And I'm asking you several times over to pray for my aunt.
Yeah.
The one who passed the gift to me, now First Lady. And they're saying she has advanced dementia. And I keep binding the devil from her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is because when I couldn't get them to bring Mia back to the church so she could be blessed, I took a picture of Mia to her, and she blessed Mia in the picture.
Wow.
And they all refer to Mia as the little name that I gave her when she was a baby. She was just a sweet little baby that giggled when you kissed her under her chin. And Aunt Ruby, that's my aunt, a woman with a virtuous woman,
mm-hmm.
a price beyond rubies,
mm.
Aunt Ruby.
Yeah.
And she lives up to, she does everything that the Proverbs woman does. But she blessed the picture of the child, and she is the one that passed the gift to me. She blessed that child in the picture. And she was there when the pastor blessed the whole family. And that is why I get so really caught up and fraught up, is that my problem is that what I personally feel, and God knows it, and why I keep begging and praying, is the reason that she seems to be declining with her mental stuff. They took everything, I was telling you, as I told you over the years, the couple of years, they took everything away from her that was meaningful and important to her. She was the First Lady. It was her duty. She ran the fellowship. She ran the kitchen. She was counted a missionary. Now, when they jumped in front of her and took her duties away from her, she called on me to help call out for the menu. And they stood there, she and her husband stood there before me at odds and in the church. And I cried because I told them, you all are making me have to make a choice. And I can't really make a choice with what's going on with you. And from there, it all went downhill. But the bottom line is, I see it as this. You can't take things from people as
uh-huh.
they age. You can't take stuff. You would not take the things that are important to your mother away from Sarah, Carolyn, Pettigrew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wouldn't take the things that are important to her away from her, because you know that would be the demise
uh-huh.
of that sister. And I just saw it happening in front of my eyes, and I didn't know what to do about it. I couldn't. All I could do was cry and pray.
Huh.
And to this day, I'm still praying and asking the Lord to bind the spirit of the evil one from her mind, because she has that healing gift that she passed to me. And I'll have to pray and ask the Lord some more for understanding of that gift, because you're talking about gifts now. You're talking about the Native American community. And I am sometimes torn between, you know, my studies that where you met me and where you led me into becoming aware of my Native heritage and pushing for that. And one last point as I go. The Native American hospital in Robeson County, North Carolina, is the emergency room is full. They can't put anybody else in.
Oh.
They told people that they want to come, it better be life or death, because they're going to wait a long time because their emergency room is full with people with COVID. And you see, this has to do with leadership, and has to do with those. Sometimes I get angry because the president and vice president, when they were on their campaign tour, promised these very same people help. And where's the help now? They're over there paying people to get a shot, but nobody has taken the time. My cousin is telling me about it. Nobody has really taken the time to really convince them and enforce the people that voted for them that this is the right course of action. This will save your life. This is not a TB blanket, a tuberculosis blanket. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Send me off on my studies and get off from my spiritual thing. But that's it. Talking about the gift, talking about here and the right now, talking about what is real on the ground for Native American folks.
Mm-hmm. I love it that you are so compassionate. As we close right now, we only have a couple minutes left, but will you pray for us? Will you take that healing gift and pray for some healing to come to our friends who are sick, to people who don't want to catch COVID, to people who right now need healing in their minds and their bodies and their emotions?
I'll do my best. Almighty God, creator of us all, you've created creation. You've blessed creation. You've blessed each and every one of us. You have a purpose for each and every living thing. You came that we might have life and that more abundantly. Lord, your word also says that you sent your son, and he said, suffer the little children not, let them come unto me. So, Father, right now, let us bring our little children to the knowledge and understanding and reverence of you and of your son and of this situation that we're in. Let our leaders, Lord, from the president to the politician, the vice president, the president's wife who is also trying to campaign and work for them, to everybody whose hand touches the right now and the future, the legacy and the present, Lord, please bless. Bless us, Lord. Let us look unto heaven to revere and honor you and ask the question for you, to you, of you, instead of each other. Let us lean not to our own understanding, but Lord, you send down the blessing. You bless the minds. You give discernment and help. We prayed for it, God, the leader. I believe you sent us those people. And for those that are standing in the way, Lord, you can bind the wiles of the devil. And I call upon you right now to do that, to let no weapon formed against our future, our right now, nothing, COVID, nothing, ignorance, nothing, racial discrimination, nothing. Let nothing stand in the way of your will being done, God, because we know that as we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, bless us right now. Bless Don Karima that she might keep this message going forward in all of her works and all of her words. And thank you, Lord, for a little sister, a little Native sister, who brought wisdom and discernment to me. I thank you, Lord, for my life and for your purpose and your will in me. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, for your many blessings. Grant us your mercy and your grace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I call it done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for sharing your heritage of Indigenous healing and your gift of healing and your spirit with us. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for letting me know that, you know, for giving me a call out. And I was just happening to look at the phone at the time you did, and I just clicked in. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Bless God.
Our steps are ordered, and the steps of our friends who listen. They are ordered too, and they're ordered into a good path and the love of God for you. We'll see you next time.
Amen. Wado.
You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back once the war forgave you. You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the war forgave.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.